Well, once again, I want to welcome you back. Pastor Paul here, right here in the chapel of Hope Chapel. Here, it's a beautiful Sunday in Huntington Beach. I want to thank the McPhees once again, Sean and Jennifer McPhee, leading us in worship, accompanied by Luke Janes. They'll be joining us as well, our 10 a.m. hub service, Hope United Backlot. We have in-person worship. I want to encourage you, you're watching and participating online this morning with me. Thank you very much for doing that. But 10 a.m. every Sunday, we gather right here on the property of Hope Chapel. It is really taking hold of some great things that are happening. Even this weekend, we are applying altar prayer after service and continue to have some light refreshments. It's very, very festive. And it feels like the Lord is always with us at that time in affirming the conversations. We all need community, do we not? We need to find that anywhere we can. So thank you for being with us this morning. I have my Bible in hand. We want to take hold of the Word of God. It's a very sacred time, is it not? When we gather around the Scriptures, I want to even encourage you, you who are just gathering from a distance, many of you are in other nations, and we want to thank you for being with us this morning and hearing the word of the Lord. We're going to pray because it's so significant for us, because as we do, we recognize this, that we want to honor the word of God. Would you remind people that are there in the room with you, hey, we're going to pray, we're going to seek God for the word, and we don't have really idols or other things that we might say are sacred, but we do have the word of God. And I want to just highlight the importance of that, because we know, as Jesus said about the sower and the seed, how that in Mark 4, verse 15, that Satan will come immediately and snag the word from our hearts before it bears fruit. So let's pray right now, and may the Lord just quiet our hearts and pay attention with great reverence to what God has for us individually, collectively. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that's right there where we are, right here now, together in the name of Jesus. Open our hearts, help us to see, help us to hear, help us to retain so that the Word of God bears fruit and prosperity in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, I want to highlight our summer series. It's entitled Facts for the Future. We're really looking at that scripture in Daniel 2:28. Remember that, where Daniel responded when the king says, how do you know these things? And he said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. So we want to just encourage ourselves about facts for the future. Last Sunday, we were taking a look at that portion of that and really had a tremendous message brought to us by Pastor Fred Barber. And that title of the message was The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Wow, that was outstanding. You can take a look at that on our website. Go to our resources and check it out. But I want to highlight, because some of you have been asking me questions about the marriage supper. Who, in fact, is going to be gathered around the marriage supper of the Lamb? And I want to highlight before we begin today's message a little bit as we look, because we recognize this, is that Revelations chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. You're going to see that on your screen right now, but it actually refers to who's actually there and preparing themselves. We know that to be the believers. But the scripture says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So with that, take a look, the righteous acts of the saints. I want to encourage you with this, because it's so significant for us, is that we know heaven is offered free and clear because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. For all who believe and receive him and the atoning work of Jesus for our sins, heaven is a given. But our work, this side of salvation, those things we do on this planet, gives rewards to us. And Fred alluded to that. Scripture is very clear on that about the rewards of the believers. This is part of the study of eschatology, the end time element. Remember, we were looking at the two comings of Christ, really the first coming on the cross. He's already done that. He's ascended, his work's done. The second coming will, but before that, something called the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church will really begin what we would see as the seven-year tribulation period. It's during that 7 years is where that marriage supper of the Lamb will happen. And what takes place there is that we're going to see that the believers will be evaluated, their faithfulness to God, to His Word, to our purpose, why He's redeemed us. Those rewards will be measured out. It's important for us. Matter of fact, there are elements when we talk judgment, don't be afraid of that. There's the evaluation of that. I heard a cute little story where there was an atheist farmer that was just writing things in the newspaper, and he was describing to the Christians as he really ridiculed them. He said this, "I plow on Sunday, I plant on Sunday, I cultivate on Sunday, I hauled in my crops on Sunday, but I never went to church on Sunday, and yet I harvested more bushels per acre than anyone else, even those who are God-fearing and never missed church service." So the paper editor put that in there, but he edited a line at the bottom and said, "God does not always settle accounts in October." You know, the Lord has a time. He's so patient with us. He's so reassuring and comforting. But there comes a time when the Lord says, "I want to sit down now with you and let's evaluate your life, even believers." And that's called the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat, it's used in the Isthmian Games where the Olympic runners would be evaluated if they performed their athleticism according to the rules of the game. And that's what Bema Seat means. It's going to be for those Christians when we stand before Him on that day. A couple of verses I want to highlight for you, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 14, it says, "If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 3, you're going to see where Fred was driving the conversation about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. That the foundation is Jesus. Nothing wrong with that foundation. But be mindful how we build on that foundation we have, that relationship we have with Jesus, because that is where our works will be evaluated. What did you do with your life? Well, on the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:10, you can see now on your screen, it says so clearly this. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So that judgment seat of Christ is what's so significant for us to be mindful. And that's talking to Christians. Who will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, really, the faithful ones who have been persistent to live their lives in obedience to God and to His Word. There'll be rewards. Remember, we read in Revelation 19 that those white garments are going to be the righteous acts of the saints. So it's important for us to realize that. I like Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So I want to just highlight that's important for us once again. And I just want to just read one other one. It's in Revelation 22, 12. Write that down. It's not on your screen, but write it down. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So again, let me just highlight, because we're talking about facts for the future, there is the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ for Christians, and there's something called the Great White Throne Judgment for non-believers, and that's in Revelation 20, verse 11. If a person shows up at the Great White Throne Judgment, it's too late for them. It's only how much really hell they will get. That's important for us to understand. All Christians should understand the importance of the end time evaluations or judgment of both the believers and unbelievers, the goats and the sheep. It's important for us to recognize that. There's also something called, in Revelation 20, verse 15, the Book of Life. You want your name in the book of life. The books will be open, and everyone's name who's listed there will be granted eternal life. That's important. So that's God's word. We want to recognize the importance of God's word and see and understand. These things were part of the early church principal teachings. Hebrews chapter 6, you may want to write down Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2, because it talks about the six elementary principles that every Christian would understand, and one was eternal judgment. So these are things that most believers should have a good handle on and understand what is coming and what will take place. So as we look here, if you ever did a research and understand word search in the Bible of God's relationship with us, it's fun to actually do that. I came across where love is found 360 times in the Bible. The word grace, remember, God's relationship to us, is found 148 times in the Bible. Mercy is found 282 times in the Bible. Peace is found 397 times in the Bible. And the word judge is used 188 times, judgments 190 times, and judgments, plural, 122 times. Not all reference to believers, but well over 500 times in the Bible. So God is a God who literally comes and says, I'll make everything right. I'm going to evaluate everything at the conclusion. Well, we're going to set that aside for the time being, but it's important for us once again. I find that everybody looks forward to God being a little lenient for us. Heard about a cute little story about a man being pulled over because he was speeding. Police officer asked for his driver's license and his registration, and he handed his driver's license and registration. Police officer looked at it, handed it back, and the man was hoping for a little leniency, and he said, Officer, I hope you noticed that my birthday was yesterday. And the officer said, oh, yes, I did. That was the day your license became null and void. And so now he's going to have two citations here. So when we take a look here, it's important for us as we begin today's message, part three, the title of The World at Jesus' Second Coming. Let's look for a moment here. I have 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 13. Let's begin now in these other areas of what we know the Scripture describes as predictive prophecies. We know that there are well over 1,817 predictions that the Bible. Why? Because there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And it's involving well over 700 events or issues, and we're dealing with a few of them, just a few of them today. Well, 2 Peter, look on your screen now, chapter 3, verse 11, or from your Bibles. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, as you look here, I just want to highlight one phrase here. Look at that phrase. It says, hastening the coming of the day of God. Do you know that we can hasten the coming of the day of God? One of the things that I like about Hope Chapel, and it should be for any God-fearing organization or group of Christians, and that is called missions. Let's get the gospel out. Jesus was the one that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because Jesus, in Matthew 24, 14, go ahead and write that down, but Matthew 24, 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. How can we hasten the coming of the day of God? Getting the gospel out to every nation, and every nation will hear. There'll be no exceptions and no excuses. It's going to be important for us, won't it? Well, as we look now, we continue on because we see that God has not called us and appointed us to wrath. Remember when we read that last time we were together in 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, and 10, and 9? It's important. It's important that we take a look at this because we're dealing now with our 14th prophecy. Let's look at that 14th prophecy. It says the Bible in Luke 21, verse 25 and 26 says, on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. Now, let's read that together. I'm put that on your screen there for you because Jesus describes this in Luke 21, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Well, let's deal with the development of that. Researchers say the Arctic heat is melting ice, ocean ice, and affecting species and indigenous cultures. That's the development that is happening. We're not saying there's a culmination of that, but it's important for us when the Word of God is talking about how there's going to be perplexity in the seas and the waves roaring. There's no doubt that the Antarctic is heating up. They're talking about how that it's the temperature has been rising since 1958. There has been well over 800 square miles of ice shelf that have already disappeared. Glaciers are receding. If you take a look and realize that the West Arctic ice sheet, they're saying, has a tendency, it could collapse into the ocean if it is. You know, they are saying that that could raise the ocean level 16 to 19 feet. That's amazing when that happens. 2 million cubic kilometers of ice would collapse into the ocean, raising the water. I wonder what that would happen to Seal Beach or to Long Beach if even 1 foot of water were to raise up. So you can imagine what's happening here. The United Nations says that the ocean rose just 1 foot, that there would be well over 60 million displaced people globally, just 1 foot. So we can see here the nations will be perplexed at the sea and the waves roaring, just as could be predicted, right? So we are looking here. Now, how about the ozone layer? Just things heating up. The ozone layer was discovered really in 1913 by two French physicists, Charles Fabry and Henri Bosson. And those two men discovered that the ozone layer holds back the radiation that's put out by the sun's heat. Now, over the last 30 years, mankind has done better with chemicals to hold back the erosion of the ozone layer, but there is tremendous threat that is going away. And if that's the case, the National Academy of Science says there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of people with increased, really, skin cancer. Well, I just want to highlight that. Number 15, prophecy. Jesus said that there would be great earthquakes. And it's in Luke 21, verse 11. Take a look at that on your screen. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence. And there will be a fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, one of the things that's worth noting is that we're seeing that the developments happen to be that there are more earthquakes over the last 20 years than over the last 200 years. Now, one of the things that's in history now that we really haven't had what we would call killer earthquakes. When it was established, the world of science statistics started booking those things in 1900s. They have found that really there's one killer quake per decade. That was the norm. Suddenly, when the 40s hit, isn't that interesting? That's about when Israel became a nation. But when the 40s hit, all of a sudden, there were now 33 killer quakes prior to that time. But here is what they've listed. In 1950s, 9 killer quakes. In 60s, there were 13 killer quakes. In the 70s, there were 56 killer quakes. In the 80s, there were 74 killer quakes. And in the 90s, there was 124 killer quakes. All you have to do is just go on Google and put in the word earthquake California, and you'll see that there's been just a slight earthquake. Every day they log one. It's amazing when Jesus talks about there'll be more earthquakes prior to the second coming of the Son of God. So if we take a look here, we recognize one thing, everybody talks about it and then we put down the subject, but the San Andreas Fault, 750 miles straight up California. And they're talking about how that splits really the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate, those tectonic boundary lines that happen, and that it's just been a little bit of shifting. I don't mind a little bit of shifting, but they said that it really hasn't had a major shake in over 200 years. So most feel that we're due for that big one. That's what they're talking about it, the big magnitude earthquake. But, you know, if you and I have Jesus in our lives, what do we have to fear? Really, what do we have to fear? But it's important for us because Jesus, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets when God starts to describe these things. And we know as there's an increase of these elements that the Lord's word talks about it as if a woman in labor, and we know a baby's about to be born, when those contractions happen with more intensity but come closer in time frame. And that certainly seems to be the case with earthquakes. But if this, if we ever have that big earthquake, you know, and most have really scheduled what it would be like because all of our electricity and water and gas lines in LA, they cross over the San Andreas Fault. And it was interesting because they noted back in May the 28th, 2015, that it would require $200 billion to fix that, take months to do that. And the overall element would be 50,000 injuries, possibly 2,000 deaths. But that was 5 years ago when they estimated that. But I just want to talk, that is developments. How about number 16? Jesus says that there would be widespread famine. Back in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, again, there's the reference. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So the United Nations, the Food and Agricultural Organization, or FAO, says that more people are starving in this generation than at any time. You think, here we are, modern man. But it's amazing. The development, as the United Nations says, there are more starving than in any other time. So 1 billion people are in danger of starvation or severe malnutrition. Probably the greatest nations right now are the nation of Yemen or Chad. Respectively, there's 45.9 and 44.2 respectively that are affected by hunger or malnutrition. That's a pretty large populace. Number 17, prophecy. Bible says disease would break out all over the world. Luke chapter 21, verse 11 again. Let's just look at it again. There it is on your screen. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And the development, World Health Organization, I'm sure you've heard about them, especially during our own pandemic, says that we're not equipped to contain many of the diseases affecting the world. And they said that 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they were that we are not becoming a safer place, and that if the outbreak was to occur, that it wouldn't just be centralized, that everyone, all countries would be affected. So in spite of the warnings, we still are not being well equipped. We're doing a better job, aren't we, as a nation? Thank God for our administration and our great leadership throughout America. But we do know this, that the book of Revelation says that a great disease would sweep across the world and destroy one-third of the population. Can that happen? Well, now we see that it certainly can happen. And so not everyone believed in the 80s that the AIDS epidemic would come along. We really don't talk about HIV anymore. Really, it's kind of something that nobody can really say. Can't even put it on a paper. But yet it really is something that's a massive plague that still ravages certain nations especially. So we have bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics, and Bible predicted that those things would happen. And there simply, really at this time, seems to be no effective treatment. But how did God know that? Well, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Aren't you glad you have Christ in your life? You could read the Bible and say, wow, the Lord actually did say these things would happen prior to his second coming. Well, number 18, prophecy that no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, that's important for us to recognize because I do have a lot of people that are talking about that. We're going to talk about what it is that Antichrist or that beast. What does the Bible say? We'll deal with that at another time. But check out Revelation 13, verse 16. It says, he, the beast, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or of the name of the beast or of the number of his name. So the development naturally is happening. It's no secret now, but it's microchip implants are currently being reviewed or for recording health, positive identification, financial records, and naturally for purchases. So something that's really important, I found an article, an old article, on September the 12th, 2018, the Atlantic Technological Association said this, that you're going to probably be getting a microchip implant someday, and we're going from tech geek novelty to genuine health tool, and you might be running out of good reason to say no to it. That's interesting, don't you think? Because 2017, thousands of Swedes in Sweden have already received that microchip implant. What does it look like? Well, if you take a look, it's online, but it just looks like a little grain of sand, a little grain salt piece, or excuse me, more like a little rice grain, I should say. But in that, it's just inserted by a hypodermic needle. And they're using it in Sweden as an element where they are now just waving their wrists to unlock their cars or turn on their coffee pot. And they open doors. And now companies there are using it instead of badges or fobs to open up their industry or their businesses. So I think the tipping point for microchip implants is when it becomes really, really hard to refuse. That's where it is. But what's happening with the microchip is that radio frequency identification. It's literally the RFID transponder. And that is what's so helpful because people are finding that those transponders, the RFID, is able to find individuals, and now farmers and ranchers are using them in their livestock where they can triangulate through satellite and find that creature or individual within 12 feet anywhere on the planet. You might have even heard about that being offered for your family pet to just have a little transponder placed within your critter in case it ever gets lost. You can find that. But it's been noted that if you have your luggage tags, and that possibly maybe with Delta Airlines, that your luggage hasn't been lost lately, and it's because of probably the RFID, the radio frequent identification, that travels with you when you fly somewhere. They know where you're at because it's there with you by reason of your credit card or your debit card. And we do know that 7 states have really banned mandatory microchips on humans by their employers. Employers want to see those chips being applied to their employees because of the identification. They feel that would help them, that they're looking to lobby ways with which, with the possibility of maybe the United, our nation's health system, one way for security, removing identity theft would be that positive identification. And you know you're using those chips now as you insert your credit card or debit card into pay or to respond to some product that you're wanting to acquire. So when we look here, it's what is worth noting because the predictive prophecy is that someday people will not be able to buy or sell, really hold a job if they don't have the mark of the beast. Not sure what exactly that is, but we sure can see it unfolding now with something called the microchip. But we see that we're heading toward a cashless society. Just keep your eyes open for that. Similar to India. India is currently a cashless society. How did they go about doing that? Well, first of all, they eliminated the coins. I don't know if you've asked your banker yet for maybe some coins, but they're saying because of COVID, they're not providing coins anymore. Next thing that probably would happen is that the removal of the dollar bill, the $5 bill, and eventually what would happen is they're just going to call in all the cash that you turn in to your reserves so that you can transfer that to electronic currency, maybe something like Bitcoin. But you'll have a considerable time to do that. I didn't say that, but that's how a cashless society would go, and certainly would work it up to where the Antichrist would come in and say, I'm going to control all the economics globally. So let's just take a look and see as those things unfold, right? Again, if you have Jesus in your life, you've got nothing to worry about. We have a great time right now to tell people about Christ. There's still peace in our land. There's still prosperity in our land. God will be true to his word and his love and embrace for his people. I want to highlight now as we take a look, let me remind you, as we prepare our hearts even for communion, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 13, we started with this reference where it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I do like that. It's an important reminder for me personally. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I sure want to do the maximum good I can for my Heavenly Father. I know that's your desire too. We have another destination, and God is preparing that place for us. It's so significant for us. It's important as we look, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Let me read that as we prepare for communion, because Jesus in his word describes this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. I'm going to share a couple more verses that make reference to his coming. And one of them is, even in communion, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show yourself the Lord's death, his first coming, and then his second coming. Do this as often till he comes for you. Would you prepare now, if you haven't already, to receive your own communion elements? Would you consider going to get them? I want to just highlight what I have here. I have my communion. This is our mobile communion element tray. Matter of fact, if you're here now with me and you have ever maybe wanted to have a minister come to your home and serve you communion, would you consider asking Hope Chapel, call us up and say, I'd like to have Pastor Paul, I'd like to have maybe one of our chaplains come serve communion. This traveling communion tray is outstanding because you'll notice even on our website, we have chaplains that are there and available to come. If you feel comfortable, they'll serve you communion right there where you're at. But I want to encourage you as well. Let me add another one. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Boy, that sounds like safe passage to me, doesn't it? That where I am, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. Jesus has a plan to receive his bride. He's looking forward to that. There is going to come a time, and I'll tell you, it's important because he promises, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I want to also describe Acts chapter 1, verse 11. In Acts 1, verse 11, you remember they're on the Mount of Olives and that Jesus is about ready to ascend. He just tells the disciples, be prepared, stay in Jerusalem, wait for the promised Holy Spirit I've told you about. Therefore, two men dressed in white said this in Acts 1, verse 11. It's on your screen. And men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Isn't that exciting? So many scriptures. We talk about predictive prophecies. How many times does God's word have to say, Jesus is coming again? Jesus is coming again. And he's coming for you who believe. Some of you might say, well, these things of the predictions of what our world will be like at the second coming of Jesus, it could be quite frightening. Well, maybe for those that have no hope, but for you who have Jesus, we always have hope. I don't know how people go through what you and I go through without Jesus, because we always have hope. But those people who don't have Jesus, they need the Lord. And those who are just saying, well, I'll hang on till the end, I'm not sure I'll remain faithful, you are the ones that need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Dear parents, grandparents, would you talk to your family about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Be those that say, we need the power from on high to be faithful to God during these times. Well, at this moment, I want to encourage you and just take even a step of faith and say, let's have communion together. I'm going to lift my portion up, whatever your portion might be. Could be a pastry, could be a little portion of a piece of bread. But as we lift that portion up, we want to thank God that he did come the first time. We believe that. None of us were there when he came the first time, but I believe he came. And there's enough evidence that proved he did come. And he says he's going to come again. He's going to come again. I believe before the event even takes place, he's coming again. So, Father, as we lift our portion up, we want to thank you for coming in human body so that you can bring healing to our bodies, to our homes, to our minds, that, Lord, we can honor you with everything we have. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Would you go ahead, take that portion, invite those around you to enjoy it now with me. I'm going to lift my cup up as well. This symbolizes, as Jesus' word says, his shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, Hebrews 9 says. We needed a Savior. His name is Jesus. If you're here now with me and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, even by a confession of having communion with us, is that confession, I believe that Christ's death was for me, and I received that atoning work on the cross for me. Would you do that now? Lift that portion up. Lord, thank you, not just for removing my sins of the past, but Lord, your faithfulness to forgive me and to allow me to feel renewed and washed clean in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate together. Praise God. Something's wonderful about having simple elements that remind us about Christ and what he's done for us. Isn't the word of God so significant? Sometimes we get busy and we don't really read the word. We forget the word, but it never changes. Remember how the Lord says in Matthew 24, 35. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Hide the word in your heart. Get into the book this week. Let God reassure your heart and do not let fear dictate to you. You are children of God. You are citizens of heaven, and the Lord loves you dearly. Matter of fact, be that change agent for your home, for your community, and for our world. Jesus is counting on his church, and I know we can count on you. I want to thank you for joining me this Sunday morning. What a great time we've had. Please consider one of these Sundays coming out for our 10 a.m. service and continue once again to participate in what the ministry is all about through your contributions, and you'll find out how that happens through those areas of your gifts to Hope Chapel. We want to thank you once again. Let me pray off up blessing. Father, I want to thank you. May you, Lord, bless and keep each and everyone who watches right now. And may the power of the Holy Spirit sweep through right now their homes and their working environments, their study environments, their plans, Almighty God. May the favor and the grace of God come upon each and every one of them. And Lord, drive out despair, no depression. Depression be removed in Jesus' name. And if there is pain in anyone's body, pain go. Pain go and do not come again. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.